To the best of my knowledge, I have never before preached on the Great Tribulation. Never. Have you ever heard me, Larry? Never. I figured you want to deal with nonsense like the rapture, go ahead. Because it simply is not scriptural. It's just people want to be happy. That's all it is. It's not in the Bible. But last night he talked to me about the Great Tribulation. And he said it's described in Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. And then it finishes up with the vials of wrath in chapter 16. Now, a lot of this you're not going to remember, so I suggest that you listen to the tape when Bill sets it on the internet, that you hear what I'm going to say, and I have to go over it fairly rapidly. But you'll get the idea of it. The idea is that these plagues mentioned, starting with the seals in Revelation 6, and proceeding onward to the judgment on the spirit of religion. Babylon the Great, if my understanding is correct, is the spirit of religion. It says the blood of the martyrs and the apostles and so on are in it. Religion is when you try to please God without hearing from God or being directed by God. Just as the leaders of the Jews murdered Christ, they were very religious, and so they murdered Christ. There's something deadly about trying to be a man or woman of God when you're not hearing from God and you don't know what God is saying. You're just being religious. Well, my opinion is that's Babylon the Great. Now, all these things lead up to chapter 19, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Well, the Battle of Armageddon is the second coming of the Lord. The coming of God to the earth to live here is in the third coming of the Lord, and that's in Revelation 21 and 22, which means that the indescribably difficult things that are described, starting with chapter 6, are going to take place before the Lord comes. And I would like for those who will, when you go home, a purpose in your mind to read Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, and then the angel of the last witness appears in chapter 10, the two witnesses in chapter 11, the birth of the man-child, Christ in us, and then chapter 13, Antichrist and the false prophet. And then 14 is the first fruits of the church. And 15 is a song of victory. And then 16 is the bowls of wrath, which concludes God's anger, the Bible says. That concludes God's anger. So these chapters are terrible. In one of them, and I scratched all this down because it was not what I planned on talking about at all. A third, it's in chapter 9 of chapter 9 of Revelation. A third of mankind is killed. I think the population of the earth is 6 billion. Is that correct, Mark? 7 billion? Well, a third of that, whatever a third of seven is, people, are going to die before the Battle of Armageddon, before the Lord's second coming. So that seems tough. But there's other things in those chapters that, if anything, is worse. Now you see why I haven't preached on the Great Tribulation. I don't even read those chapters. I'm reading them now only to see what God has in mind. And I was debating, Lord, am I hearing from you? Is this anything to put before the people? And my eyes fell on something. It may have been on, it was a newspaper, this kind of thing, in which a pundit said, the church has not read the Bible and is weak. And when you read those chapters that I mentioned, beginning with chapter 6, you will see how the church is in no condition at all to see God in that light. We simply have had a tradition, as Christ has established his church from the time of his resurrection, and we really know very little about Christianity or God or Jesus. Well, we're fixing to learn about them, and it's a little different than we've pictured. I'd like to look for a minute at Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Well, there's Vi. How you doing, Vi? How's Emma? Good. Yeah, she's a cutie if there was. She doesn't like me at all. All right. Now, I want you to, as I'm preaching, these are so different from everything that you've heard as a Christian, most of us, maybe some have, that we won't even recognize what's being said. It'd be like somebody talking in a tongue we don't understand. We can't relate it to God or Christianity or salvation. But look what God said, and this is as much God as John 3:16. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. This is after the flood of Noah, of course. Long after. This is to the Jews. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth. You ever picture God like that, saying a thing like that? Now we might turn to Matthew chapter 24, and you'll see that Jesus was referring to Zephaniah. In verse 21 of Matthew 24, hold up your flag around 10 of, I guess, because I want to do something at the end with the whole congregation. Now notice Matthew 24, 21. Now this is talking about the Great Tribulation. It's talking about Revelation chapter 21. No. Chapter 6, and then going on with a little hiatus until the veil, bowls of wrath, as if all the preceding hadn't been bad enough, then there's the bowls of wrath. And the Bible says, in them God's anger is completed. That's in chapter 16. In them the wrath of God is completed. After this destruction of the earth, and a third of mankind being slain, it's not enough. We must have the angel pour out the seven bowls of wrath. And then God says, oh, we better read it. Hold that place in 24:21, because that is critical to our thinking. Now I'm looking for Revelation 16. I want you to see these things so you'll know Thompson is not on some kick. When things started getting heavy, I looked at the clock. It was 2:30. All right. These are the bowls of wrath. The seventh angel, this is verse 17 of Revelation chapter 16. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done. It is done." And then down to the end of that chapter, there were hailstones fell. They weighed 100 pounds. Have any of you in here ever lifted 100 pounds? Most of the men probably have at one time or another. Can you imagine a hailstone weighing 100 pounds? This is what the book says. And I must confess to you, I have not preached it in 40 years, and I have not even read it. But he, the seventh angel, and that's in verse 17, poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done," meaning God's judgment on the sins of mankind has finally been done, been accomplished, been avenged. Now back to Matthew 24:21. It is referring to these chapters, to the great tribulation. And he says, "For then there will be great distress." Well, Lord, you just got the honor of accomplishing the understatement of the century. Now notice what it says, and this is important. Unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. So that means we're not talking about some minor catastrophe. We're talking about these episodes in Revelation which are without precedent in the history of the world. It means what it says. "For then there will be great distress," thank you, Lord, "unequaled from the beginning of the world until now," Jesus said. It's never happened before like this. God has just let his anger build and build and build with the aborted children and the crimes that have happened by mankind throughout history and are accomplishing today. The little boy was in the paper this morning in the World Max on the computer, a little boy 11 years old. His mother came home and went into his bedroom and he had hung himself. Come to find out, his girlfriend, also 11 years old, had made a portrayal on some electronic media, I don't know what, Facebook or whatever, that she had committed suicide, but she was play acting, I guess to get his attention. But he thought she was serious, so he went in and killed himself. Now, that is so symptomatic of the American society today. It's symptomatic. It's not an isolated incident. I think the reason people watch television to the extent that they do is they're trying to maintain a sense of normality. On the television, it looks like, hey, everything's okay. But in the meanwhile, dreadful things are happening. And a man wrote a book called The Snapping of the American Mind. And I think it's true. Like the judge dismissed a lady. She came before him. She wanted to marry her laptop. Now, if that isn't the snapping of the American mind, I don't know what is. And but this kind of thing is happening all the time. Stuff you can't even grasp. It's like, that can't be. You know, that could not be. But it is. And the reason is, our nation is so large, it cannot be governed, because there are too many divisive forces in it fighting against each other. And it's getting worse all the time. I'm not here to talk about America or its problems. I'm trying to tell you now what the Lord told me last night. Now, I want you to look at verse 22, because that kills the rapture doctrine. It kills it. If you look at it and believe it. If those days, these have not begun yet, but they will happen before the Lord comes, but there will be no rapture. I'm going to tell you the solution when I get through here at 10 of 12. I'll tell you what the solution is, so I won't hang you up here. The solution that God has given is the 91st Psalm. And we're all going to be saying it together after I'm through preaching. I'm going to have you all come forward, and David Mack will be up here to receive you and kind of guide you in the 91st Psalm. We'll say it together. That is God's solution. And there is no other. There is no rapture. The solution is to live in the bosom, in the closest possible contact with God from this minute on. Because we do not know, and I've asked the Lord repeatedly about these things, the Lord Jesus, he says, it's when the Father gives the word. When the Father gives the word. This is God's business, people. God's business. The Father. I realize when Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say to pray, my Father who is in heaven. What did he say? Our Father. He was speaking of you and himself. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. Sound like Zephaniah? As it is, 2/3 of the people survived. But he said, for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. If they had been prolonged, no one would live. That's the great tribulation. It's no wonder the preachers made up this doctrine of the rapture. Instead of preaching what the Bible says, they preach what they made up. You won't be here, so don't worry. But according to this, the elect will be here on the earth. And their safety is what? The 91st Psalm, dwelling so closely in Jesus that the plagues can't touch you. Now, most Christians in America are not living anywhere near that close to Jesus, anywhere near it, where every thought you're thinking, you're holding up before the Lord. Every word you're speaking, you're holding up before the Lord. Everything you're doing, you're holding up before the Lord day and night. And you say, I can't because my job is so taxing. You'll find if you hold your attention before Christ where you can feel his presence in all you do, your day will go better. You'll do things you never could do before, whether it's selling cars, and I'm saying that for a friend over here, or whether it's designing software. You will do a better job if you keep your mind on Jesus. And if at any time you get absorbed in something else, the first thing you're off in something else, you make yourself vulnerable to Satan. He doesn't work by power, you know. His power was broken on the cross. What does he work by? Deception. Deception. I've got a doctor's degree in deception. I know what deception's about. You don't know when you're deceived. You think you're right. But a voice says, you must not tell your friends. You must not tell your friends. When you hear that, you know the deceiver is working on you. I've learned some things being deceived. I'll tell you. For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And then, if you will, we'll turn to Revelation 7, which is really key to our thinking, this great multitude. First of all, it tells about the sealing of what seems like Israel. But Belinda, I think it's not talking about Israel after the flesh. And you know why I think that? Because it omits the tribe of Dan.
Because it what? Say that again.
It omits the list of Jews that are sealed. Omits the tribe of Dan. Which I don't think any righteous Jew would ever do in his wildest capers. So there's these people who are sealed, and they're called the servants of our God. And as a result, they're spared from some of these things. Because when it's describing some of these, it says it affected all of those except those who were sealed. So that begins with that hopeful note. And then in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, it mentioned, beginning with verse 9, and I think this is very important to understand. Very important. Before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Well, now that must have been a big multitude, that a person couldn't count them. From every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, these people are in heaven. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches. And by the way, these palm branches are courtesy of Brandon and Hadassah. And were holding palm branches in their hands, this unnumbered multitude in heaven. And they cried out in a loud voice. You see, if nobody in heaven whispers, they're all yelling. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. Those living creatures are the cherubim. Satan was a cherub, is a cherub. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? Well, it just told them where they came from, every nation. I answered, sir, you know, and you'll find this many times in the Bible. I have to laugh at the number of times they throw it back on you. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. Now, how could they have come out if they hadn't been in it? Now, if you take a piece of fish that you're frying out of a pan, was it ever in the pan? Otherwise, it would have been impossible to take it out of the pan. The Greek army is watching me very carefully over there. He thinks I'm trying to put something over on him. You can't come out of the great tribulation unless you have been in the great tribulation. Now let's see How did they escape from this unparalleled distress? Because you might need this someday. You might say, this is what Pastor Thompson was saying was going to happen. What'll I do? It says they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, how do you do that? Anybody any idea? Just what Margaret led us to do this morning. That's exactly how you washed your robe. And if you did what you were supposed to do, you'll walk out of this church with a white robe. Because that's how you wash it, is by confessing your sins. See, those sins are like dirt on your flesh and in your heart and every place else. And when you get down and say, God, the Bible says, let me quote the Bible. If we confess our sins, now who do we confess them to? Ordinarily to Jesus. But sometimes it's very effective to confess them to people of the church that you trust will not gossip and who are obviously living a godly life. And many times that's very effective. You get two godly elders, man or woman, but you better get the same sex as yourself or things get messed up. Two men or two women, and tell them, look, this is what I'm doing. And you don't hedge about it. You don't say, I know it's wrong, and so, but I keep on doing it, and blah, 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 blah. You just say, this is what I'm doing. It's hard. It's easier to confess them to the Lord. But sometimes, you know, James says, confess your sins one to another. That Greek term is harmartia, that's sins. King James says faults. Greek says sins. Confess your sins one to another. There's a church, and I can't remember the name of it, but the whole church had a practice of every service, somebody or one more than one person would stand and confess their sins. That's what they did. Boy, that name almost in my mind. But there's a church that did that, that they made such a doctrine out of the confession of sins. They did it every service and publicly. You know, people, there's worse things than that. Like I noticed in the World Max electronic newspapers saying, the Palestinians are saying that if you must beat your wife, then follow the Quran. Imagine a woman, a wife, reading that. And she knows she's not perfect, and she knows she has caused her husband grief. It wasn't deliberate. It was just the way life is, just as he had caused her grief. But the Quran does not give him her permission to beat her husband. See, people that are soft on this invasion of the Muslim religion in our nation, every woman ought to be on her tiptoes to see that that doesn't happen. Because that's not fair. Amen. Imagine marrying someone at the altar and promising to take care of them, and then you beat them with a stick because they didn't do what you wanted, or they made you upset, or your food was cold, or the toast was burnt, or something. Well, that's the way the world goes today. And so, these people, now look at their reward. Now, when this starts, and I probably will not be on the earth when it starts. Maybe I will be, maybe I won't be. But if I'm not, I will do my best to help everybody. So if I'm not here, you can't say Thompson got away with it. Because I'll be right. You see, we think, oh, when we die and go to heaven, we'll never see these things. Listen, one of the worst parts If you have not been a godly person and you're killed in one of these plagues, you will have to look at what's happening to your loved ones who are still on the earth. And for some people, that's worse than happening to themselves. You'll have to, and if you have not served the Lord, you won't be able to do a thing that help to help them. And there you'll see your little boy drown, or your grandmother raped by somebody, or something else that you don't want to happen. Your wife brutally beaten and then killed, and there's nothing you can do but see it. So don't think you're going to get away with anything. We're not going to get away with a thing. But I think that some of us who have made a practice of doing the Lord's will when we knew what it was will have the ability to help our loved ones and friends. And things we see going wrong, we know are not right. Someone beating an animal to death. And people do those things. So even if you're killed, you don't get away from the great tribulation if you're wicked. You'll have to see what's happening to your loved ones. But look at the people who, during this horrible environment, had the presence of mind to confess their sins and make themselves right with the Lord. Because in those chapters, and I can't tell you exactly where, it says, still people did not repent and harden their hearts against God. So not everyone confessed their sins. That happens with people, you know. Some people are treated roughly by the Lord and all they do is get madder. And others are treated roughly and they bow their head and repent. You can see that among people. Some will really get right when they get in enough trouble. In other words, and others, they just say, if there was a good God, he wouldn't let this happen. Or like one lady said, if I thought that God had let that happen, I wouldn't love him. And what had happened was perfectly justifiable. I think she was just blowing smoke, but nonetheless, to let that out of your mouth, that I would not serve God, I would not love him if I thought that he allowed that to happen. People do those stupid things because they don't fear the Lord and serve him day and night in his temple. Oh Lord, I'm a candidate. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Why does it say that? Because that was what was happening to them before they washed their robes during the tribulation. When you get over to the bowls of wrath, you'll see about the sun burning people. Yeah. Terrible. These chapters are terrible. Nobody said amen. Not a soul. Oh, no. I'm reading to you from the Bible, saints. So, all right, chapter 6 is the opening of the seals. 7 begins with the sealing, and it also has those that came out of the tribulation. Chapter 8 is the trumpets. If the things weren't bad enough, the trumpets begin to blow, and then an environment suffers terribly. Then in chapter 9, the trumpets are blowing, and a third of the population dies. In chapter 10, the angel of the witness appears. You remember this great, huge angel. In 11, there's the two witnesses, and the seventh trumpet blows. And the kingdom of the world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. In chapter 12, the male son is born from the church. That is speaking of Christ in the church. And there'll be a kind of a first fruits unto God, I think. And then in chapter 13, you have Antichrist and the false prophet. Chapter 14, the first fruits of the church and the harvest of the earth. And then in chapter 15, the song of victory. In chapter 16, the bowls of wrath that conclude God's anger because of the way people have behaved. In 17 and 18 is the judgment on the spirit of religion. It's called Babylon. Babylon is the spirit of religion, and it's done more harm than you can imagine. And then cruel things. The Catholic Church in particular has done cruel things, but so have other religious people. And that's 17 and 18. That's Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, and so on. And I like where it says, the voice of the bride and bridegroom will be heard in her no more. The church will be, the real deal will be through with religion. That's in chapter 18. The voice of the bride and bridegroom will no more be heard in religion that does not hear from God and does not know what God is saying and is not being guided by God, but is just trying to please God without hearing from him. It's a terrible thing, and it's true of most religions, including the Christian. Most people have never heard from God, so it seems to me. And then in Revelation 19, you have the battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ to the world. That means all these things that I've been talking to you about will happen before the Lord comes. That's the important thing to remember. The Lord isn't going to come and prevent these things. After the conclusion of the earth being battered beyond belief, then Jesus will come with his army and destroy the spiritual forces. Antichrist will be thrown into the fire. The false prophet will be thrown into the fire. Satan will be confined in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And Christ and the first fruits of his church will reign. And the rest of the saints that are really called of God will be being brought to maturity in the heavenly Zion. So they'll be prepared to work with Christ in the great work of the holy priesthood, the royal priesthood. Now, does anybody have a question? Larry, you have a question. You look like you heard something you never heard before, but I'm sure you did. Yes, April.
I just want to say on Tuesday nights, the last couple of months, Stan has been going over Revelation, so you can listen to it on the internet. Right now, I believe we're on chapter 16.
I wish I could have heard that. What did she say?
Stan's been preaching on Revelation on Tuesday nights, and they're on chapter 16, so you can go on the internet and listen to him.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. I've never heard anyone preach on, well, let's see, what's in chapter 16? Stan, what's in chapter, where is he?
We started from 1, now we're all the way to 16.
We started from 1, and now we're on the
16th. Oh, all right. That's good. That shows that the Spirit is dealing with us.
Yes.
When it's more than one witness. All right, now I'll tell you what we're going to do. Lloyd, if you would, put Psalm 91 on the overhead. And then, Dave, where is he? If you come forward. And then Dave is going to lead you in saying it together, the 91st Psalm. And while you're saying it, think. This is the protection that God has made for you during the Great Tribulation. When else would a 10,000 fall at your right hand? Huh? Even in a war, you wouldn't have 10,000 at your right hand, hardly. So while you're saying it, don't be just repeating it. Think what it's saying. And then when you're through, then it would be well, I think, if all of us spent some time in prayer, at the altar to pray that we won't be fearful, that we will remember to wash our robes, and get yourself prepared, because as that man that wrote in the paper, I saw, he says the church is soft. It does not believe what is written. And that's absolutely true. So we don't want to be soft. This is no time to be soft. Honestly, I looked at the internet this morning to see if we are at war. When I went to bed, a strike force was moving toward North Korea, and Russia was sending a battleship towards Syria, ostensibly to prevent any more Tomahawk missiles from the United States falling on a city. So I turned on this morning. I thought we might be in war by morning. It just depends on how sincere Russia is and their threats, and North Korea are and their threats. But I don't think they're going to bluff our president. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is the times, they are changing. And what worked last year will not work now. We've got to get ourselves closer to the Lord Jesus. And so after you say the 91st Psalm, maybe you can get a little nest of your family and pray together at least for 5 or 10 minutes. Some will pray more. Or if you want to, you can go and sit in your chair and pray. But please don't visit, don't talk in the sanctuary. Go through the doors and close them behind you and help yourself in the foyer and on the steps. But please do not visit. This is a holy time. This is the first time in 40 years that I've talked to you about the coming judgments. I didn't understand that that was describing the Great Tribulation. I didn't understand that. But where else is it in the Bible? That's got to be the great distress. It's never been before. Never will be later. So it's got to be those chapters. And it's got to be during this first coming of Christ, which we are still in. He hasn't come yet to the second coming. So I think people, as we see things shaping up in the world, that we better get close to Jesus. How many agree with me? Amen. Okay, let's do it right now if you want to come forward. And Dave will be up here to receive you. And we're going to say the 91st Psalm together, all of us. Please move forward and let's do it as a church. And we're going to say the 91st Psalm together, realizing that what I have preached to you does not mean that you have to endure that. You've got the 91st Psalm, and you can wash your robes, just confess your sins. Make sure your robe is white, and you go right up to the throne, which is real cool. If there's anything cooler than that, I never heard of it. Okay, Dave, it's all yours.
I just hear the Spirit saying, to him that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Lord would say to the church. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he can deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of...
Just a minute, Dave, a little slower, please, right, so people can think what they're saying. Thank you.
Okay. So, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand.
But it shall come near you.
1,000 may fall at your right side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling.
For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, he shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Does anyone have a prophecy that God has pressed on your heart? Father, I am so thankful for the opportunity to present to these dear people the truth of what we are facing in the days to come. And I pray we will never forget this service and never forget to keep our robes white. Never forget, Lord, to dwell in you, Lord, in you. Help us. Grant that to each one of us here, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, now if those want to stay and pray, it's only 12 o'clock, and it wouldn't hurt to pray for 5 minutes. And if you don't want to, or the pressure cooker's on the stove and you have to go, you have to go. So God bless you. Do as you feel you're comfortable in the Lord.